This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Ik. Now, adults above 60 in Malaysia who have comorbidities are now being offered second COVID-19 booster shots. While these shots are available on a voluntary basis, there is some confusion and misunderstanding when it comes to who should get them, whether they're safe or not, and what protections would individuals get with these second boosters. So joining me today to provide some clarity, Professor Dr. James Koh, infectious disease consultant and professor of medicine at International Medical University, IMU. Professor James, thanks for joining me today. Perhaps you could start by reiterating MOH's current recommendations for the second COVID booster shot. Who is it being offered to? And something that people are very concerned about, what type of vaccine is being given?
Yeah, good afternoon. So there are two groups that are offered this second COVID booster shots in Malaysia. The first group, as you have mentioned, are individuals who are aged 60 and above, and anyone with comorbidities. What I mean by comorbidities are chronic diseases, like chronic lung diseases, heart diseases, or any vascular diseases, kidney problems, liver problems, and neurological problems. These are the subgroup of people who are offered this second booster shot in Malaysia, right? These senior citizens, they can get the second booster between 4 to 6 months after the last or the first booster, right? We assume that they have already gotten the first booster to be eligible for the second booster. So between 4 to 6 months after the first booster. Now, the second group is a little bit more exclusive. These are for people who intend to travel. This should be people who are 18 years and above. And the criteria would be those who are going to countries that may require them to have a second booster. There are not many countries like that, but there are some countries would prefer the visitors to have a second booster, or they themselves would like to have added protection with the second booster. They can go for a second booster. And this should be taken 1 month after the date of the third dose or the first booster. So there are two groups in Malaysia that are offered the second booster.
And the type of vaccine that's being given for the second booster?
Oh, yes. We only have Pfizer as a second booster.
And I just want to clarify on the comorbidities. Now, a lot of people in Malaysia live with, you know, chronic diseases like diabetes, hypertension, heart disease, stroke survivors, chronic kidney disease. So I presume all of those fall under these comorbidities.
Yes, they may not actually be above 60, you know. So I think they have to be assessed on a case-by-case basis by a doctor and then decide whether they should go for the second booster or not.
Because currently the recommendation is above 60 and having...
Yes, and not above 60 or, you know, so it's and.
Does it matter if their condition is well controlled or not?
Of course, if these conditions are well controlled, then they should be in a better state of health. And so on the other hand, if their conditions are not well controlled, and we know that in Malaysia, a lot of people with these conditions, generally from my experience, do not control their chronic disease very well for due to many reasons. So my take on this is that if they have a chronic condition that are well controlled, they should be in a better state of health. But I think regardless of whether they are well controlled or not, and if they are above 60, they should consider going for the second booster.
So why, right? People want to know, why is it important for them to get yet another booster shot?
Yeah, that's a good question, because we have been going through so many cycles of vaccinations, and people start to ask questions, but when is this going to end? Right? But if you look at our, even in our country, you can see that the people who succumb to severe diseases and hospitalization and death largely belong to this group of people who are elderly and those with comorbidities. Unfortunately, we have very limited evidence or scientific evidence or research evidence to get a broader picture. But what we have at the moment is enough to convince us that it does confer benefit to this group of the elderly and those with comorbids. Because from all the research that we have so far, it does show that with the second booster, it does reduce the hospitalization, severe disease and death in this group quite significantly. And hence, quite a few of countries, including Malaysia, have proposed for or offered the second booster dose.
Mm. Where is the evidence coming from? Which countries are we looking at?
Well, evidence are coming quite fast nowadays, right? And most of them are from Israel because they are the first country to actually push, even from the beginning, vaccination for its citizens. And then second dose, and then first booster, and then now second booster. They are the first to do it. And therefore, of course, naturally, most of the data would come from that country. There's another one from Canada. And just yesterday, one or two papers that came out in Lancet from other countries as well. And all most of them looking into how much benefit can we get from getting a second booster, right? From the papers in Israel, there are about seven papers, I think. Can't remember, six, I think. And out of that, five of them looked into the population that are elderly. And then they find that with the second booster compared to the first booster, right, there is a reduction in hospitalization, severe diseases and death. Right. So it's quite convincing. The numbers are good. I think the evidence is quite strong, at least for this group. Of course, then the other group of people will be asking, so I'm not quite 60 yet, I don't have comorbids, I'm very young. Some of these papers also looked into this and they found that in younger people or healthy people, when I say healthy, it's in comparison to those with comorbids, the benefit seems to be minimal. I guess that's why the Ministry of Health in Malaysia are not offering it to everyone. And they're offering to only a subgroup of our population.
Mm, the most vulnerable.
Correct. That's the word, yeah.
What is the duration of protection after the second booster dose before immunity might wane again?
Okay, that's another billion-dollar question, I guess. What we do know with all the vaccination we've gone through is that it will wane, the immunity will wane. And so far, all these papers have they're still relatively quite new. So they have follow-up patients for up to, from what I read, up to 3 months after the post-second dose. And they do see a waning of immunity. But still at 3 months, some papers still report that vaccine efficacy, that's what it means, VE, against hospitalization, severe diseases and death, still ranges between 60 to 75%, which is quite commendable at 3 months. But as to how long it will last is anybody's guess. But definitely it will wane.
But I understand that we don't just look at the antibodies immediately after vaccination. You also look at something called T-cell response, right?
Correct. Yeah, because in our body has a sort of two defense mechanisms. One is to build antibodies and the other one we call it a cellular response, which is a T-cell response. Now, to measure antibodies is very easy. It's very easy to quantify. And that's why most of this research are based on measuring the production of antibody post-vaccination. But the T-cell response is a little bit trickier. It's like going to war and you can actually count the soldiers. That will be the antibodies. But you can't actually quantify the strategy, the meetings, all the other hidden behind the scenes stuff, which our body is quite capable of. And that part is very hard to quantify. We do know that there will be cellular response. We don't have a great way of measuring it. So yeah, I can't give you a clear cut answer how long that would last, but I believe the body is very special. It will remember the vaccine's property and I'm sure it will kick in, when there's infection in the future.
So our immune system is doing some sort of special ops, defenses.
Yeah, it's always doing some special ops, right? So the antibody is very easy to quantify. But what goes behind the scene is a little bit harder to quantify.
Absolutely. Some people are also asking, why not just wait for a vaccine that's more targeted to specific variants?
Well, I would look at it this way. Getting the second booster is also a waiting strategy, right? So it's like I'm stranded on an island while waiting for to be rescued by a passing ship. Should I starve myself to death and wait for the caviar on the ship? No, no. I'm just going to eat some coconut, drink some rainwater until, you know, the ship arrives with the caviar and everything. It's of course an extreme example, but yes, definitely we have to wait. We can wait for the next vaccine, but for many of the people in our population, waiting might mean getting infected and succumbing to the disease, right? Eventually, there will be a vaccine that will be better than what we have now. And I think these major companies are working on it. But that is very, very tricky and very challenging because COVID itself right now has not come down to a level where it becomes seasonal and becomes endemic. In many countries, it's still not endemic. And that will be very hard for us to predict its pattern. And every couple of weeks, you hear of new variants of concerns, you know. So this makes making a vaccine very, very challenging. Eventually, it will happen. I would foresee that in the future or near future, it will become like the flu where we have to, where scientists will sort of guess the pattern of spread and then make a vaccine appropriate to it. But we haven't reached there yet. So it's a waiting game. I think while waiting, it will be good for those who are eligible to really consider getting the second booster.
Now, we are offering Pfizer for the second booster. Yes. But as we know from the first round of booster shots, there were people who didn't want Pfizer and wanted Sinovac, right? Mm-hmm. So, again, the rationale behind the type of vaccine for the second booster and, you know, what about people who are still who still prefer Sinovac instead?
The evidence we have at the moment, unfortunately, is confined to mRNA vaccines. So we don't really know whether non-mRNA vaccines like Sinovac would work or not. We don't actually have the evidence for it. Maybe in time, we will learn from other research that I'm sure they are doing and looking whether Sinovac or AZAC can be effective as a booster, right? But so far, from all the papers that I have come across, they are all confined to research done on mRNA vaccines like the Pfizer and the Moderna. So people, I mean, doctors and scientists cannot advocate something that isn't backed with evidence at the moment, right? So at the current time, what we can confidently say is that if you take the Pfizer vaccine, you will get the protection. But at the same time, I can't tell you whether you will be protected if you don't take a mRNA vaccine.
Mm. So what we know about effectiveness comes from mRNA vaccines, right? And that's why that's being offered. Again, though, is it safe to be boosted over and over again?
Well, we have been vaccinated with other vaccines before, and there are other vaccines which require multiple doses as well. So I guess as to whether it's safe or not, so far, experience is telling us with first dose, second dose, and the booster that it is quite safe. And it also shows us that it is very, very effective. I think Malaysia has done really, really well in terms of vaccinating the population. You see, post-Raya, we don't see a crazy rise in cases. I attribute it to two factors. One, we have a very high vaccination rate in the country. And two, I think our citizens are quite good in adhering to SOP. When I go out in the streets, although you don't really need to wear a mask in outdoors now, but I still see lots of people still wearing a mask. And I think that's a good habit to continue. Yeah.
Hmm. I guess it just comes down to every individual knowing how to make this decision to go and get, because it's on a voluntary basis, this second booster. So what are your guiding principles, right, for how people can make these decisions for themselves or perhaps for their older relatives?
That's a good point, because I'm going to bring my mom for her vaccination tomorrow, the second booster. if I'm the person who falls under this group, or I'm the carer or the children of parents who are elderly, I think I will have to consider the risks and benefits, right? For instance, if my mom or my parents are going to be at home all the time, he or she doesn't go out at all, there's no mixing anywhere. So actually getting COVID in that kind of situation would be a lot less compared to people who goes out quite a bit, travel everywhere. So those are the factors that we need to consider. Plus, you have to think whether, my parents, do they have a lot of comorbids? And if by chance they get, COVID, although they stay at home, we may be bringing the virus home after work. And will they be at risk of severe? We do know that even with first, second, and first booster, the elderly tend to respond poorly in terms of building antibodies and immunity, right? For instance, my mom, whenever she gets her jab, she hardly feel it. She doesn't have a lot of pain. She doesn't have fever. She's in a nine decade now, so she's pretty old. And I think her body is really not responding so well compared to, for instance, me. When I got my first booster, I was floored for 2 days with fever and I couldn't really move.
And that's your antibody response kicking in.
Yeah. We take it as a proxy of our body responding to the vaccine. So we do know that in the elderly, the response is not that great. And therefore, it would be logical for us to try to boost the immunity with another booster. That's why the word booster we use.
Is there anything in the evidence that suggests Malaysia may need to roll out booster shots for children and teens instead now?
So booster shots, in this case, will be the first booster. It won't be the second booster because in our country, we haven't really rolled out. But we did roll out first booster. We offered the first booster for teenagers. I think our Minister of Health, at the same time when he announced the offering of a second booster for the elderly, he did mention that for teenagers between 12 and 17, they can consider getting this first booster, not the second, first booster, if they have a condition that compromises their immunity, right? So again, there's a lot of ifs, and again, it's voluntary. And so anybody with any conditions that may impact their immunity, like cancer survivors, people who had transplanted organs, people who are on chronic ingestion of steroids for whatever reasons. These are the people with slightly lower immunity compared to the others. So these are the group that our Minister of Health had recommended for a first booster. Now, for those who are much younger than that, we do know that the uptake of vaccines by those who are very young children is quite low in this country, actually. I think less than 40% have taken the first dose, and a little bit more than 30% have taken the second dose. It's really, really, the number is small compared to the adult population. So I don't reckon that our minister or Ministry of Health is going to recommend a booster anytime soon.
We want to get them jabbed with the primary doses first anyway.
Correct.
Thank you so much, Prof. James. I've been speaking to Professor Dr. James Koh, infectious disease consultant and professor of medicine at International Medical University, about the second COVID-19 booster shots. You've been listening to Health and Living BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.